Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I fully expect the president to be back in the captain's chair on Today's Issues tomorrow. That's right. Sometimes we do Today's Issues today. Sometimes we do Today's Issues tomorrow. Walker Wildman, Vice President of Operations, is in studio with me. Instead of Steve Jordahl, we have perhaps one of the best off-the-bench guys we've got at One News Now.
Save that,
American
Grant.
American Family News. Chris Woodward.
I do what I can.
Yeah, off the bench, man. You're like out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Steve had something going on.
And I am right-handed for people that keep track of righties versus southpaws, but yes.
Well, anyway, welcome, Chris.
Thank you
very
much.
What kind of stories you got for us?
Well, I want to begin with something that occurred earlier today on Fox and Friends. The reason I'm going to begin this segment with this story, you guys were talking a lot about politics in the last hour between Mayor Pete Buttigieg. You talked about former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders, things like that. And this kind of begins with a little bit of a setup. Remember back in 2016, I believe it was, news broke of a tarmac meeting between former President Bill Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And people are like, wait a minute, what are these two talking about? There's an election going on. There's collusion. All these kinds of words and oozions were thrown out there, things of that nature. One of the reporters that broke news of this so-called meeting on the tarmac was a guy named Christopher Sine, and he has written a new book called Secret of the Tarmac. He was on Fox and Friends this morning to talk about that meeting between Lynch and President Clinton. Clip 8.
When I broke this story, we knew that something had occurred here that was a bit unusual. It was a planned meeting. It was not a coincidence. It was planned. It happened. And this details everything that they don't want you to know and everything they think you forgot. But Bill Clinton was on that plane for 20 minutes. And it wasn't just about golf, grandkids, Brexit. There's so much that doesn't add up.
And you've paid the price for this career-wise. What kind of, you know, what kind of threats or what have you received?
Well, my family received significant death threats shortly after breaking this story. Credit cards hacked. You know, my children, we have code words. We have secret code words that they know what to do. And that's why I came back to WBMA, ABC 3340 in Birmingham, because when I was enduring the death threats, it was my former Alabama football family and my teammates, my coaches who circled around me.
Now, I bring this up because we're going to, for the foreseeable future, hear from Democrats and far lefties, Democratic socialists, things like that, about how Trump colluded with the Russians or Trump did the quid pro quo with Ukraine, things of that nature. Here we are, 4 years later. We still don't know very much about what these two talked about beyond what a few journalists who have apparently been threatened and authors and whatnot have talked about here. Do you guys think we'll ever find out what exactly they talked about?
No. No, and here's why. Because I suspect, now this was during the time when it was still up in the air what might happen to Hillary Clinton in terms of investigations regarding the email scandal, and we've talked about that ad nauseum. Okay, so my own personal belief is I think it's preposterous to expect us to believe this was an accidental meeting. And this was clearly an intentional thing. And so that means that they didn't just talk about Brexit and grandkids or anything like that. And so who's going to tell us what they talked about? It would have to either be Bill Clinton or it would have to be Attorney General, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And they both have something to lose by telling us what they talked about. And so therefore, no, I don't.
Yeah. We'll ever know. These people are so corrupt, and there's already I'm talking about the Clintons and some of the Obama officials, but there's so much we already know about the things they have done that are backed up by multiple sources and documents. You look at the Clinton Foundation, you look at the smashing of the email server that the FBI recorded that into the evidence file. So you got all these things and nobody seems to really answer for it. And I talked about this on my show some this past week, but you don't even have, like, usually in these criminal cases, like you saw this hoax against President Trump, you'll see the people underneath them get under the microscope. you'll see, for example, with Hillary Clinton, we didn't even figure out, number one, which IT guy was the one who smashed the email server and ran bleach bit on it. We don't even know the name of the guy that did that. Somebody had to do that, so like even he didn't go to jail.
Right.
You know, and mm-hmm. yeah, I could see how you say, well, Hillary's not the one who destroyed the evidence. It was some of her subordinates. She had nothing to do with it, you know, plausible deniability. But we're not even seeing where people below them that are actually doing these alleged crimes, where they're even being held accountable.
Some of these people got immunity.
Yeah.
They were granted immunity.
Yeah, maybe they were ones that beat up the server.
Yeah. Listen, this is one of those things where, because Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, so I can see where she couldn't meet mm-hmm. with the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, mm-hmm. because that would be clearly because it would have nothing to do with her being Secretary of State. Why would she have to meet with the Attorney General?
Right.
But her husband meets with
her. By the way, this was the tarmac meeting was the week before that James Comey came out and did the press conference.
Right.
The week before. It was in early July.
And nobody would have known about this meeting on the tarmac. This is at, I think, Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Nobody would have known about it except for this guy, Christopher mm-hmm. Sine.
Yeah.
He spotted it. You know, he's got the camera there. This would have been a secret meeting that nobody would have ever known about except for this guy, Christopher Sine. And so why is he being threatened? Why would he be threatened if there was nothing there? Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the kind of corruption that goes on in governments, period, is, I say, well known. Mm-hmm. You don't always know what it is, but everyone knows that much power, that much money, there's going to be corruption. But the corruption that went on in the Obama administration, and especially surrounding Hillary Clinton, is undeniable. And this is another chapter in it.
Yeah, well, Andrew McCabe mm-hmm. is a prime example of the double standard here, because you have Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, and Roger Stone all being charged, some of them with multiple charges, but on all three of those, it's lying to investigators or witness tampering, basically obstructing an investigation. Well, Andrew McCabe, he lied to investigators under oath at least three times, now some people say four, and the DOJ just announced on Friday that they're not going to pursue charges. They're not even going to do a grand jury. They're not even going to indict him. It's one thing to say, will he get sentenced to actual prison time? That's a good question. But they just said, we're just not even going to bring up the case.
Right.
And you just wonder, what's the difference? They all have allegedly done the same thing, but well, one of them used to work for the FBI. So that's I think that frustrates a lot of people.
Yeah. Now, I didn't include this with the audio from Mr. Sine talking on Fox and Friends, but somebody brought up, I think it was Steve Ducey, asked him, you know, where did you get your information? Which is a good question when you're trying to push a book and you've written stories on this and things like that. Sine went on to say he didn't identify his source, but he went on to say that he had a source that walked him through every point of the meeting from the leading up to the meeting, what they talked about, what they did afterwards, things of that nature, which leads me to believe it's either someone with Bill Clinton's office, staffer, things like that, maybe A.G. Lynch's office or staff, the pilot or pilots of the plane or the flight attendants, things like that. Somebody talked, and because that person talked, you know, we have things like this. And normally I would say, well, this person's trying to push a book. You know, that's why they're saying this and that. But, you know, Christopher Sine's not the only person that's done any reporting on this. He's just one of many examples. He was mm-hmm. among the first, of course. But
He claims that he broke the story.
Yeah. So, you know, there are so I'm willing personally to kind of push aside the, well, he's trying to sell a book. I mean, this is something – I'm not trying to make it the grassy knoll of my generation.
Right.
But it's definitely a conspiracy. I'd be willing to throw the C word out there, conspiracy. And I don't know that we'll ever fully know, but maybe he'll dig up the information.
Well, we would have to be extremely naive to think that the Attorney General of the United States, which is a very busy position, and the former president just so happened to be on the same tarmac. This wasn't at Reagan International.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, where you got politicians and government officials flying in every day. This was at a small town Arizona airport or right outside of Phoenix, and same place, same time, and they just conveniently were able to get on each other's plane and talk for 20, 30
about
minutes.
About grandkids.
Come on now.
And, you know, are we dumb? Candy Crush.
Yeah. Yeah. No, listen, even if former President Bill Clinton did not say directly to the Attorney General at the time, Loretta Lynch, hey, I want you to back off and I want you to do this. Even if he was just asking, I just want to know where the investigation is, what's going to happen. It's clearly an attempt to influence the Attorney General.
Can you imagine Bill Barr meeting on the tarmac somewhere in Florida with Michael Flynn's wife?
Yeah.
Right.
Or Roger Stone's wife?
Yeah.
He must resign. This is a conflict of interest. This is obstruction of whatever kind of abuse of power.
It would lead off newscast.
Yeah.
Despite coronavirus fatalities or flooding or whatnot, it'd be the top story.
All right, let's go.
Well, I tried to find a segue myself to build off the
example. It's not easy, and the fact that Walker and I pulled it off three times in the first segment.
The words.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one of the stories we've covered a lot in recent days, months really, is this trend of biological males wanting to and actually competing in women's sports. We've seen it at state level. There's actually news that a biological male is going to run against women in upcoming U.S. Olympic marathon trials. That's going to be a first and probably won't be the last. But I wanted to bring in some sound here because here in Mississippi, we have a former science teacher turned state legislature, and she has introduced legislation to keep biological males out of women's athletics. She says, Angela Hill is her name, and she says the Mississippi Fairness Act comes at a time in which she's not aware that we in Mississippi have a man wanting to be in women's sports. But as Angela Hill went on to tell me, she says it's better to be proactive than reactive, and she wants to help protect fairness for female athletes. Clip 9.
I feel like we need to make common sense decisions. When the whole world has gone crazy, there needs to be a little pocket of sanity here and there, and that's exactly what I intend to do. And, you know, the support for this, I've seen some nationwide polling. It's bipartisan. It's strong support for this type of thing. Look, it's just about fairness. You know, that's why you have men and women's sports teams. That's why we've had throughout history, you know, women's sports teams. And their titles are just as coveted to the women as the titles are to the men. And it's just not fair to a woman who's trained and worked all her life to compete against these women and then have somebody come over that's potentially been competing in the male side and then come and compete against these females. It's absolutely not fair. It's ludicrous. Somebody told me today that you can dress Mike Tyson up in a dress and he's still Mike Tyson.
Now, that again was State Senator Angela Hill, wife and mother, a former science teacher, as I mentioned there. Ours, Mississippi, is not the only state with legislation like what she's pushing. A similar bill has been advancing in Arizona, and even Senator Hill told me that measures have been filed in a number of states. And, of course, this follows a federal lawsuit filed last week by Alliance Defending Freedom in Connecticut on behalf of three young female athletes who say they're losing out to men, boys, at the high school level, and therefore not getting scholarships, titles, awards, things of that nature.
Well, I like the comment she made. You can dress Mike Tyson up in a dress, and he's still Mike Tyson. Although, I will be honest, I am not going to say anything to Mike Tyson if he's in a dress because he, you know, crushed my head like an egg. Listen, this you were mentioning the Olympic trials, mm-hmm. and then this is going on internationally too,
right.
Internationally in some Olympic sports. I am going to, in terms of men running in races to compete in Olympic trials for going to the Olympics, men competing with women, I am going to quote the mother of Forrest Gump and say, stupid is as stupid does. So these folks are going to have to learn the hard way what the rest of us know intuitively, and mm-hmm. that is that it is unfair, quoting the senator, State Senator Angela Hill, it is unfair for men to run against women in sports. Generally speaking, you may have an exceptional woman in a sport who can beat most men. Mm-hmm. But in terms of at the Olympic level, it is unfair. Stupid is as stupid does. These people are going to have to learn how stupid this is by, I guess, because they refuse to understand the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm all in favor of them learning the hard way. It's just unfair to the women who will be displaced by men. That's unfair.
Yeah, it's good to see states like Mississippi being proactive here, because you might say, well, you know, we haven't seen a case like that in Mississippi yet. Yeah, but do we need to wait till that happens to start introducing legislation?
Yeah.
So we got to be proactive, and that's what Senator Angela Hill is doing.
Christiana Holcomb is an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, representing these three young athletes, Selena Soleil, Alana Smith, and Chelsea Mitchell up in Connecticut. And Christiana told me last week that, you know, this has created an unfair playing field for my clients, things like that. And I asked her, well, explain for us, for those out there that are not aware of this, maybe they're lost in all the other news going on, like, how exactly is it unfair for a biological man or male who says, I feel like a woman, why is it unfair to do that, to allow him to compete against her and things of that nature? And she said, quote, we know from both common sense and from science that males are generally bigger, faster, stronger. They have bigger lungs and hearts and stronger muscles, denser bones, all of which together gives them a physical advantage over their female competitor. And, of course, women and even men spent years getting Title IX put in place so that way girls could have chances to play sports competitively, get scholarships, go to college, things like that. And a number of female athletes are saying, look, this flies in the face of what we worked for many years, decades really, to try to get Title IX in place. And Christiana Holcomb mentioned this. Even Penny Nantz said this on Today's Issues last week at some point when she was on last week, that this is going to be the end of women's sports. You're still going to have men's sports. You'll have what's called now co-ed sports. But this will be the end of women's sports if this allows, if this policy or trend continues to develop. And meanwhile, even if these bills make it or don't make it, we still have that Supreme Court case, Harris v. Funeral Homes, and depending on how the Supreme Court comes down in that case, we might not even have to have laws in place or whatnot. The Supreme Court may just say, thou shalt let him compete against her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll definitely have to stay watching and see what people say and do about these things.
Well, the fact that this the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, is representing these three young ladies in Connecticut. Connecticut, take it from me, I'm a New Englander, Connecticut has always been a very liberal state. And the fact that they, in a liberal state like that, are saying enough is enough, this is wrong, what's happened, is evidence of the fact that most people, again, like I said in the first segment, people do not want these trans women that are actually men, but that's what they call themselves. Yeah. They don't want them abused, but this is a ridiculous extension. That's going beyond the desire to see these people protected from getting beat up on a street corner. And what happens is these defenders of transgenderism, they'll say, well, listen, these young men are taking, they're lowering their testosterone so that it's equivalent levels. You can't, you know, with actual women, you can't boil it down to testosterone levels when you've reached 16, 17, up to age 23, because the advantage that biology has bestowed on, say, a 16 or 17-year-old young man in terms of developing bigger, stronger bones, more muscle mass, bigger lung capacity, stronger hearts, all that's already been done. Mm-hmm. You don't reverse that by lowering a man's testosterone. That doesn't put them on a level playing field at that age.
Yeah.
So, and let me just say, too, trying to prevent all that from happening with a six-year-old or a seven-year-old is just child abuse by giving puberty blockers and stuff like that. So I think eventually we're going to look back at this as a very strange time in Western history, especially in the United States. So kudos to the to ADF and to these young ladies in Connecticut and to Mississippi State Senator Angela Hill for going with common sense.
Yeah, for people not aware, too, ADF has a very successful track record at the court level, not just at the Supreme Court, but in other levels. And they are very experienced in these kinds of issues. They've argued all kinds of cases from Arizona, Minnesota, Kentucky, all around the country. So they certainly have a history on their side in terms of winning and things like that. Circling back to election stuff here, I was not aware of this, but apparently in recent days, former ABC News journalist Sam Donaldson endorsed Michael Bloomberg for president. You had Judge Judy in recent months throw her support out there for Michael Bloomberg as well. The interesting thing with Sam Donaldson, we've already had at least one journalist weigh in on this via Twitter. This is from Emily Miller. She's worked at all kinds of stations and outlets, as she says, from left to right, NBC, ABC, Washington Times, One American News, all kinds of places. And she's not excited about this. She says, I'm really thrown off by seeing Sam Donaldson, my former boss at ABC, doing a political ad. This hurts all working reporters who are trying to prove to the public they aren't all liberal and biased. Any thoughts
who
there?
Who said this?
This is a young lady named Emily Miller. She's, I believe she's appeared on Fox News from time to time as well. But she's not happy. Former staffer of ABC, not happy with former ABC executive Sam Donaldson throwing his support out there for Michael Bloomberg.
Well, that doesn't really surprise me. I mean, you'll see editorial boards endorse candidates.
Very true.
And you're like, wait, y'all are the news, a news company, yep, and you're endorsing candidates. But it happens all the time. Even you'll see editorial boards endorse conservatives. But but I think the point here is that it's interesting that Michael Bloomberg owns, remember he had that situation, he owns Bloomberg News.
Right. Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. We had the situation with the Democrat Party, and they're not going to cover the entire Democrat primary, which is odd, but they'll cover President Trump. It's going to be interesting, hypothetically, if he wins,
right,
how Bloomberg News is going to run stories on the 2020 election,
really,
cycle,
yeah,
with their, yeah, boss being the
one nominee. Would think you would need to change your name, at least temporarily.
That's a good point, though. That was a strange thing when the Bloomberg News announced that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, editorial boards have for centuries, I think, endorsed, come out in favor of candidates.
Yeah.
But that was because they supposedly kept the journalism side separate from the opinion side.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have someone like Sam Donaldson who's supposed to be on the journalist side of things.
Yeah.
You have this blending, and this is true on Fox as it is on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
You have this blending of journalism and opinion because news has become more and more a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be impossible to separate those things now. Because journalists go on the opinion side,
yeah,
and they talk to panels and they,
yeah,
give their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be very hard to believe that then when they put on their journalism hat, that opinion is not entering,
yeah,
into it.
Well, yeah, I will say I've worked in a couple of television newsrooms, and don't be shocked when I say this. This is not breaking news, but a number of people in television newsrooms are liberals. So I'm not surprised to see, you know, anybody come from any kind of television background to say, hey, I think this person who happens to be a Democrat is the right choice. But I think it does add weight to President Trump's frequent arguments that all these people are liberal hacks and it's fake news and they're out to get,
right,
me and things like that. Here he's saying what many people have speculated for years. You, Sam Donaldson, are a liberal, and you think liberals are best to run the country. So I think it helps Trump, even if he didn't say or do anything nasty to and about President Trump.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's an open secret.
Yeah.
And so someone like Sam Donaldson just says, "Well, why not? Everyone knows I'm a liberal." So I'm going to come out in favor of a liberal.
The Koppel vote may sway things, though.
Yeah.
As soon as he's done blow drying his hair.
The Ted Koppel?
Right.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
There you go.
All right, Chris, thank you for
thank you.
Filling in for Steve admirably. Folks, that's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. More great programming, though, directly ahead on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll see you tomorrow.